Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Nobody really cares about your features and benefits. They care about the transformation and how you're going to help them. And so I think that's one of the biggest lessons, not just for video, but in marketing in general, that people can understand is stop talking about your thing. Start talking about the transformation your thing brings and find ways to articulate that through stories, through media, through video, through, you know, podcasts like this. The more that you can do that, the better connection you're going to make with your audience and the easier the sale is going to become.
Hi there, innovator. Welcome to another episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust too that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Sarah Anderson of Visibility Co. and Laura Briggs, the freelancer coach. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Greg Rowlett, who is an Emmy Award-winning producer, a best-selling author, and a media expert who works with small business owners from all over the world to create personality-driven TV shows that drive their business. He's host of Ambitious Adventures, a travel reality show for entrepreneurs that can be seen on entrepreneur.com as well as Facebook Watch. Through his media network, Ambitious.com, and the Ambitious TV network, Greg's team have been able to create hundreds of episodes for their clients that are now seen across the globe on things like Apple TV, smart TVs, and mobile devices, as well as many other online and offline outlets. In this way, he gives small business owners the opportunity to be seen and heard by the people that they can best help. Greg also coaches small business owners to create their own videos by being their virtual video producer. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients. Of course, to get really clear about your ideal client is the first step in the journey of how you help them. And to help you get that clarity, take a look at our Marketing Master mini class, where in less than 30 minutes, you can work through our little exercise to develop a deep understanding of your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Access the Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It is completely free and you can get it without even giving us your email. In our discussion today, Greg talked to me about his focused content strategy with four things that you want to be known for. He explained how consistent, prolific action is much better than perfect, and he advised to focus on your mission over your ego. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Greg Rowlett. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from Lake Mary, Florida in the USA, Greg Rowlett, who is an Emmy Award-winning producer, a best-selling author, a media expert who works with financial advisors and small business owners from all over the world to create personality-driven TV shows that drive their business. Greg also hosts a couple of podcasts, the Daily Ambition podcast, and as a co-host, the Dad Chat podcast. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Greg. It's a real privilege to have you here as a guest.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm excited to be here.
Nick Nanton, who was our guest on episode 234 of the Innova Buzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Greg. So big hello to Nick.
Definitely. Yeah, just saw him today for lunch. Good guy. Excited he made the hookup.
Yeah. And now you're the founder of Ambitious.com, which is a media network that's also known as the voice of small business. And through that and the Ambitious TV network, you've created hundreds of episodes for clients that are now seen across the globe on things like Apple TV and a whole lot of other online and offline outlets. You give business owners the opportunity to be seen and to be heard by people that they can best help. So you also coach small business owners and help them create their own videos as a virtual video producer. So I'm really excited to unpacking things all related to video and content today. But before we get on to those things, tell us how you got started in video.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there and a lot to unpack in the story. The Cliff Notes version is I was actually a musician. I was a rapper in a rock band, kind of like Linkin Park would probably be the closest comparison. And, was in that world for a really, really long time. And one of the things that we did to promote our music, and this is 15, 20 years ago. So this is pre-YouTube, pre-a lot of stuff we use now, but we did a lot of video and we would put video, we'd put them on, VHS tapes, and we would send them to bars and send them to restaurants and send them to promoters and try to get, people to pay attention to us, because at the end of the day, look, no one wanted us to play at their bar on a Friday night, right? Like no one, like they, but once we used video to show them that we could electrify the crowd, that we would, not control the crowd, but we would encourage the crowd to go buy more drinks, because that's what the bars cared about at the end of the day, right? They want patrons to come in and buy more drinks. That's how they make their money. Once we kind of displayed that via video, that we got more gigs and more things of that nature, and then got into the business world and started teaching musicians how to do what we did. And the first thing I did was I shot video, and it was a way for these musicians to get to know me, like me, trust me, because who was I? I wasn't a guy with a major record deal. I wasn't a pop star. I wasn't a household name, but I used video and was able to connect with these musicians and build a very, very large business, selling tens of thousands of courses to musicians all over the world. And it's just really, it's progressed from there. And people always want to know, like, how do I do video? What do I say in a video? What's the outline for a video? Should I use a fancy camera? Like so many questions that people have. And so, over the last decade, along with my partner, Nick, and some of the folks that we have here, like you said, in unpacking this is, we help people to either coach them so they can create it and do it on their own, or we bring people into our Emmy award-winning studio and we do it for them. But the origins of it all, musician and trying to break through that world. And it's no different than a financial advisor trying to break through, or a coach trying to break through, or an author trying to, we're all just trying to get people's attention. And video is a very, very good way to do that.
Yeah. And having that visual element, it does a couple of things. I think, you talked about showing off your music talents and showing the benefits that you actually bring to the bars in this case, so that they sell more drinks, but also having that connection to see people in kind of visual, in their visual reality, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of it. And even for us, honestly, it wasn't about the music, because we knew, and this is big for every business owner, entrepreneur listening, is that it's not about your product. It's about the benefit that your product brings to the consumer, to the marketplace. It's about how your video can impact the person that's watching it. And we knew at the end of the day that the bar didn't care if we were a heavy metal band, a rap group, a punk group, a country music band, that they didn't necessarily care about the music. What they cared about was packing their bar, making alcohol sales, and selling tickets. Like, that's what they cared about. And so we played to that. We knew our marketplace, very similar to how a business owner, you want to know your marketplace and what keeps them up at night and what ticks and what problems do they have and how can you create solutions for that? So many times we get caught up in, just talking about the features and benefits of our product. Here's why I'm so great. Here's why my product's so cool. No, you have to talk about the problems that people have and solve them. And I knew that from an early time in the music industry, what problem these bars had. And, it wasn't about our music. Like, we never talked about how many songs we play in a set. We never talked about how long our set was or what kind of instruments we use. And that's what musicians want to talk about. Like, we sound like nobody else. We're a funk fusion hip hop rock band with these, and you want to talk about the features and benefits. Nobody really cares about your features and benefits. They care about the transformation and how you're going to help them. And so I think that's one of the biggest lessons, not just for video, but in marketing in general, that people can understand is stop talking about your thing. Start talking about the transformation your thing brings and find ways to articulate that through stories, through media, through video, through, you know, podcasts like this. The more that you can do that, the better connection you're going to make with your audience and the easier the sale is going to become.
Yeah, yeah, that is just gold, what you've just said. And I think, you know, coming back to what you said a little bit earlier about all the questions you got on video, and I think it's reminds me a little bit around podcasting as well. I get lots of questions around podcasting and, you know, how do you set it up and where do you host it and what sort of equipment? And there's all these questions that kind of go to the technology and in, you know, comparing to what you've just said, they're kind of the features and benefits part of it, whereas they don't talk about, well, what's your message and who you're talking to and how you're going to get that message to them and how you're going to communicate with those people that you have something to share with them that can change them.
Yeah, it's strategies and tactics, right? And people really like the tactics because it's easier to pull out your phone, go to Amazon and order the mic that you're using, right? It's way easier to do that than think about, well, who is our audience? Who do, and so we teach this in kind of two stages is who do we want to be known to and what do we want to be known for? So the first thing is, and that's the strategy part of all content, whether it's a podcast, whether it's video, a blog, you know, while we teach video, I'm pretty agnostic. Like if you hate yourself on camera, podcast. If you love talking, podcast. If you love video, great. If you're the best writer in the world, blog. Like blogs aren't dead. Crappy blogs are dead. Like people that can't write shouldn't write. So, but the first thing is you have to understand who do you want to be known to? What pocket of people do you want to be the most known expert? My partner Nick calls it the celebrity expert, the most known expert in your marketplace. Who do you want to be known to? And I don't think it's the old school demographic, 45 to 55 year old males who, you know, work as a construction worker. I think it's much deeper than that. I think, again, it goes to, you know, a pocket of people that have a specific problem, are in a specific life situation, have specific similar experiences, and you want to pool them together. Because like for me, people that are trying to do video, it's not just financial advisors, it's not just real estate agents, it's any professional who has a message, who knows they have something burning inside of them, but they don't know how to get it out of them. That's who I want to be known to. And of course, you can get more specific and niche and niche down from there. But I want to talk about the second piece, because this is kind of the more important strategy part of it is, so once you know, and you've identified who you want to be known to, now it's all about what do you want to be known for? To that group of people, to that pocket of people, what do you want to be known for? And the exercise that we have folks do, and don't do this if you're driving right now, but if you're at the gym, get off the elliptical for a second and jot this down is on a sheet of paper. We encourage people to draw a line from the top to the bottom, from the left to the right, and you have these four boxes, these four quadrants. And I want you to spend some time thinking about the four things that you want to be known for, because it's not usually just one thing. You know, everybody, like you have to pigeonhole yourself into like one specific box, but we do different things. We do a lot of things in our businesses and in our lives. But if we were known for these four things, that would make getting new business, getting new customers, building audience, whatever it was, that much easier. And I want you to think about these four things in terms of, well, what is your market searching for, right? And a lot of times I'll do this exercise and one of their quadrants, one of the four boxes they'll put is customer service. Right. And no one woke up this morning saying, oh my God, my house is on fire. I need somebody with great customer service or that has a good mission or has good values. All of that stuff is assumed. What they want is a fire extinguisher. They want who is the best person in the world who could put this fire out, and replace fire with I'm about to retire and I don't have enough money. Replace that with I need to sell my house in the next 30 days because I have a new job starting in another state. Replace that with I need a new way to reach customers because if we don't get cash flow in the next 30 days, I'm going to have to fire or let go of people. Like you want to be the person that is most known for solving those problems. And now, once you've identified who you want to be known to and what it is that you want to be known for, now creating content is easy. Creating the podcast, the blog, the video, the whatever it is, it's easy because everything that you do should just relate to one of those four quadrants. Because no matter what video you create, no matter what episode you create, you are positioning yourself as the top authority in those four buckets. So for me, one of those buckets is you know, helping people to figure out what to say on camera. They don't know what to say on camera. So I could talk about, you know, how to generate ideas. I could talk about where I go to for ideas. I could talk about what to do when I get stuck for ideas. I could talk about a simple exercise I do to get out of my head and into my customer's head. Like, it doesn't matter which of those videos I create, they all position me as the person who knows how to help people generate ideas for videos. So again, it doesn't matter what video you pick. And I think that's what cripples people, is they get stuck and, well, I have the fancy microphone, I have the fancy camera, I have the fancy whatever it is, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to talk about. Well, find these four things that you want to be known for, then start making a list. So I use Evernote is what I use. And hopefully it's okay that I'm getting super tactical here for a second, but
yeah,
you know,
no, this is wonderful. Yeah.
I use Evernote. I have four different folders for these four quadrants in Evernote. And anytime I have a conversation with a client who maybe brings up an objection or a question, anytime I'm reading a magazine, I read a lot of industry magazines, industry journals, from Adweek to Digiday to, you know, the Insurance Newsnet magazine, Financial Advisor. And anytime there's something that fits one of those four quadrants, I just snap a picture with my phone, save it to Evernote. Every time that I have that client conversation, anytime I come across a video, anytime I come across an article, put it all in there. Now, for each of those four folders, those four quadrants, I have dozens and dozens and dozens of ideas that I can riff on. So I'm never like, uh-oh, what do we talk about today? What do we shoot on today? What do we talk? Like, I have this repository of things. And what I recommend for people, if you're just trying to get started with video, to get your voice out there, to get your message out there, is you have these four buckets. You're putting topics into each of these four quadrants. Once a month, pick one idea from bucket A, one from bucket B, one from C, and one from D. Record four videos. Record them back to back to back to back. We talk about snackable videos. These are, you know, 60-second to 3-minute videos, right? Tailor-made for social media. So if you're doing four videos and they're 2 minutes each, that's 8 minutes. Let's say you need a minute break in between them. That's 12 minutes. Let's say you're really slow and you need a drink of water in between each video. That's 16 minutes. So I need 30 minutes from you once a month to create four videos. And again, each of those videos is positioning you as the person that you want to be. And you now have your entire content done for the entire month that fast, because you're not looking at the camera. It's the writer's block, or the empty, you know, if you're a painter, like staring at a blank canvas. We never do that. Our clients never do that, because we always have this base to draw from. So I know I went in a lot of different places there, but that's really the plan, like you said, to get over the tactic of what mic do I buy? What lighting do I need? What can, like, all of that is insignificant if you don't have what I just shared down, which is the strategy to build your business, generate customers, generate clients.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I mean, I really love that exercise. I heard you talk about it on another podcast, and I thought that's brilliant. And I mean, one of the things I really like about it is the doing it in that sort of way. You never run out of information, but the quality of what you put out is going to be so much better, simply from the fact that you're not kind of strained to, oh God, I've got to do another video, and so what can I talk about? And then you sort of pull something out of your head that, you know, might be, oh, I don't have anything better, so I'll talk about this. And then the right. quality of the information that you're putting out there is actually really poor, because the whole thing is under stress and not really thought through, and it's not consistent with strategy. So the other thing about what you're doing, apart from saving a lot of time because you're batching things, is also everything is congruent with those four things that you've decided you want to be known for.
Yeah, and those four things that you want to be known for should help you to sell whatever it is that you want to sell, right? Yeah, so yeah. Hopefully you have products and services that back up those things. The final piece, so we talked about who do you want to be known to, what you want to be known for. The third is you got to make offers that are congruent with that. And at the end of every video, it's a very simple transition that's just simply, hey, if you like the information that I shared in this video, you're absolutely going to love blank. And you can get it here, right? So real simple, you know, like, hey, if you like some of the ideas I shared with you here today about creating your videos, I've got something you'll absolutely love. It's our ambitious video planner that walks you through our outline to create videos in just seconds. Go to ambitiousvideoplanner.com to get your copy today, right? So just adding that at the end, now you're always leading people back to an offer. So the majority of people that I talk to, you know, we're not trying to be influencers in the sense of, you know, people who get paid to have ads or sponsor deals or things like that. Like, we are hardworking business owners. We need customers and clients, you know, to at the end of the day, we need people to buy stuff from us. And if you're not making offers, you can't get people to buy anything from you. So again, you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be an infomercial. You don't have to be, you know, that used car salesman. But if someone enjoyed what you just shared, you just added value to them, you just helped them, you gave them a great tip, an insight, an idea. Well, if it, you're doing them a disservice if you don't tell them how to go deeper. You're doing them a disservice if you don't say, you know what? If you like this, I can really help you. Here's how I can help you. And again, it's not, you know, buy now and six bonuses and time expiring. It's none of that. It's none of that stuff. It's just a genuine, hey, if you like this, I've got something else that you really like. And so those three pieces, the who, the what, and the offer should be the backbone of everything that you do.
Yeah. And it comes back to what you said earlier is focusing on solving a problem. And if, you know, here's a 2-minute tip. So the video is basically, here's a 2-minute tip that will help you solve that problem. Now, it's not going to magically solve the problem just in and of itself. It's one tip that will help solve the problem. And the next video might be another tip to help solve that problem. And the offer is, here's something else that will, is a tool or a product or a service that will help solve that problem.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's just, you know, we call these videos, like you said, the 2-minute video, we call them snackable videos. They're bite-sized videos that are tailor-made for social media. I think about them, the analogy that I give here, like at least in the States, is it's the highlight reel. It's the SportsCenter top 10 for you and for your business. So it's not them going and watching the entire 3-hour soccer match or football match. It is, you know, the game-winning goal. It is the highlight of the great pass. It is, you know, just that moment. And so what these snackable videos are is you're continuously building your highlight reel. So if you're doing those 4 videos a month, like I just recommended, that's 4 highlights every single month. Now, after 2 months, you've got 8 highlights, 12 highlights, 16 highlights. And that's how these athletes that we put on a pedestal, that's how they become superstars. That's how they become legendary. It's not because they had one game-winning goal. It's because Ronaldo has dozens and dozens and hundreds of game-winning goals. It's because LeBron James has dozens of game-winning dunks and 360 slams and game-winning touchdown passes and home runs in the bottom of the ninth. That's what you're doing with this type of video, is you're sharing these highlight reels. The person now is seeing that highlight reel for the first time, and they're like, wow, that was a cool slam dunk. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go buy season tickets. That doesn't mean they're going to go buy the jersey and, you know, have their poster hanging up in their room. So then you share the next highlight and the next highlight. And all of a sudden you're like, man, this is the person that I need to solve my problems. Then they take that next step to say, you know what? Maybe I should get season tickets. Maybe that's buying your information product or buying your coaching program or signing up for your services. Maybe now they refer someone else out. And so it's building that ascension plan through these highlights that we are consistently putting out. And so again, a highlight isn't a 30-minute webinar. A highlight isn't even what we're recording today, like a 40, 45-minute podcast. A highlight is, what are the best 2-minute clips from this episode that you and I are recording today that someone goes, huh, I'm really glad he had Greg on that podcast today. Now let me go listen to the whole episode. Wow, I really like that episode. Now let me subscribe to the podcast so I listen to every episode. Now let me support the podcast by buying the next program, product, or service. So it's really training people how to get involved in your business. And the snackable video concept is something that it's easy. It gets people to know you, like you, trust you, and take that next step in the process.
So what, I guess, you know, this is fabulous stuff. I guess one of the things I'm curious about is, why is video so important compared to other media? And I get a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, I don't look good on camera, or I don't like going on camera. So why is video so important?
So let me overcome that first objection first, that I don't like being on camera. I don't
I
like myself.
Come back to that. Yeah. But
yeah. So let me hit that one first. It's a great question that is, when I kind of flip it on them, people are, they're kind of dumbfounded on it. So if I wanted to hire you as my financial advisor, as my business coach, would you say, you know what, I'm not taking any clients now because I don't like the way I look when we meet in person. Like, I'm not going to meet you for coffee today because I need to go on a diet before we go meet for coffee this afternoon. No, of course, like, you are who you are and you are your biggest strength. I truly believe that the only USP, unique selling proposition, that people have today is themselves, because we all sell the same stuff, right? Like, I'm a video guy, but there's hundreds of other video guys. There's video production companies, there's video producers, there's, you know, guys like, you know, Gary Vee and all these people who are shouting kind of the same thing. The difference is me. Right? The way that I come across, my delivery, my inflection, my tone, my insight into this information, And so you can't be scared to put that out there just because you don't like the way that you look on camera, because guess what? You go home to your family every day and you see them. You go out, you know, to dinner with your friends. I mean, and you don't hide behind anything. Well, the same is true. If you want to build an audience, if you feel like you have something inside of you that you need to share, then it is your duty, your responsibility to go and do that. What I've been kind of coining this, and I'm writing a report kind of thing on it right now, is I believe that most people's ego is greater than their mission, that their ego and them is greater than. So they'll tell you, you know, like, Jürgen, I really want to change the world. I really want to help moms who are struggling. I really want to do that. But then you're like, all right, well, go out there and put yourself out there. Well, then their ego gets bruised when they only get 4 likes on a video. Their ego hurts more than they want the mission. When you flip that equation and your mission becomes greater than your ego, you stop worrying about that. You stop worrying about the 3 hairs that are out of place. You stop worrying about the fact that you could lose 5-10 pounds. You stop worrying about the fact that you might look silly and look in the wrong direction. None of that matters because your focus has shifted to your mission. Your focus has shifted on the person and the people that you're going to help and impact. So you need to take your ego and put it to the side if you genuinely want to do this. Now, most people talk a good game, like they want to do things, but they're really not, right? Like, we're really good at telling people what we're going to do down the road. And then, they post it on Facebook, like, I'm going to go do this. And their actions don't match their ambitions. But for the people who really want to have their actions match their ambitions, need to put their ego to the side. Because guess what? Not everything you do is going to work, right? Like, we were just doing some of these reports, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on direct mail for some of our programs this year. And a lot of those campaigns were duds. That stinks. That hurts. But I put my ego aside and say, all right, well, what worked? What didn't? What can I improve from this? How can I adapt and shift? I put out a video and it gets 5 views. Well, what was wrong with it? What, like, my ego isn't hurt. Let's fix it. We're in the what business, not the why business. So ego aside, all right, this video didn't work. Was it the hook? Was it the idea? Well, let's do the next one. And let's do the next one. Because in internet culture, we forget. Like, we have amnesia. Like, especially here in the States, like, we live in a Trump world now where he does something crazy, so crazy today that you forgot about what crazy thing he did yesterday. Do you think that people really care that much about your video that got 18 views? Well, guess what? Only 18 people saw it. And of those 18 people, no one cares, because now you're out with the next thing that might hit and the next thing that might hit and the next thing that might hit. So you have to put your mission above your ego. And if you do that, you'll stop worrying about how you look on camera, how you feel on camera, that your hair is out of place, that you didn't wear the right shirt to the studio today. Any of that nonsense becomes a non-issue.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think it comes back again to what you were saying earlier about solving a problem. And if you have a mission to solve a problem for people and you've got a message that can help them do that, then you've got to get out there and share that message. And that becomes the driving motivator. And if you look funny on camera, well, who cares? As you said, it's focus on serving that audience.
Yeah, it's all about the audience at the end of the day. Yeah.
So, yeah, what was the original question? how do you convince? Yeah, well, that's right. Why is video so important?
Yeah, so I said it earlier, and I really do believe this, is that all media is important. And I believe that you should do what you feel most comfortable with. The reason that I like video, A, is because a lot of the platforms are favoring it, and not as much now as they were before. Like, even Instagram, they went really heavy on video. Now they're looking at image content a little bit more. LinkedIn, heavily favoring video right now, and in their algorithms and in the way that they're showing content in the feed. Facebook, it's still cheaper and most inexpensive to go in and advertise video. So you can get your videos, you can give Mark Zuckerberg your money, your credit card, and he will show your videos to your target audience for a penny, 2 pennies. I mean, imagine your perfect person, your perfect avatar watching your video for 2 cents. Like, that's still very viable via video. And I also believe that it's the medium where you can create the fastest relationship with someone, because they see your mannerisms. They see, like, even you and I, while people are going to listen to this via audio, you and I are doing this on video. I can see when you light up when I'm talking. You can see when I light up when I'm talking. Like, you're smiling right now because I just said that. And so it is a medium where we can build the fastest relationship with people if we're genuine, authentic. We do all the stuff that I just said, mission over ego instead of ego over mission, and you build that connection. I also, from a content repurposing side, There's so much you can do with video. You can strip audio out. You can transcribe and turn into posts. You can take a 5-minute video and find two highlights and they're two snackable clips that link to the longer form. So there's a lot of things that you can do with video, but I think from an influence, persuasion, trust building medium, it's the fastest way to build that trust and connection with people. Not to say that it can't be done with, there's huge podcasts where that same type of thing is done. Like guys like Joe Rogan, guys like Tim Ferriss, guys, you know, that have just built this huge human connection with their audience via audio. I think it's amazing. And especially when you have a consistent podcast like that, I joke, like there's a guy in the financial field, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. He's got a multi-$100 million business. He's on terrestrial radio 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's 15 hours that his audience listens to him every single week. I don't talk to my wife for 15 hours a week, like in that intimate of a setting, right? Like, we talked on the phone for like 2 minutes about like what we're having for dinner and what we're making the kids. So to have that intimate of a relationship via audio, it can happen. But I just think video, there's just a different level of connection when you can see someone's eyes, you can see their passion, you can see their movements, their mannerisms. It's just, there's something cool about it. And then, yeah, the platforms favor it for the most part. Like it's hard to put a 45-minute audio up on Facebook and have somebody play it inside of the Facebook platform. You got to go to iTunes or you got to go to Stitcher. You got to go to whatever the podcast platform of choice is. So that being said, do whatever you're going to do. I think this is the most important message I have. If video, even though I said mission over ego, all of that stuff, if you're still scared, you know, out of your mind to do video and you're never going to do it, then don't do it. Go do a podcast. Go write if you love to write. Do the thing that you're actually going to do, right? Because if you're not going to commit to it, if you're not going to do it for the long term, if you're only going to do like two videos and then give up, you're not going to get the message out there. You're not going to make any kind of impact. You're just going to waste a lot of time, money, resources, mind space. You're going to stress yourself out. Commit to something that you're going to do and that you are okay having fun doing it, creating it, building it over the long term. Because I'm sure, like, I don't remember what episode this is of your own show, but I bet this one is a better interview than interview one. And, you know, interview five was better than interview two. And interview 10 is going to be, you know, you get better and better. Your episodes get better and better. Your guests get better and better. My videos today are way better than they were 12 years ago. They're way better than they were a year ago. And again, if you think you're going to be insert whoever that you have on a pedestal after creating two videos, you're out of your mind. Same thing with audio. Right, like if you listen, you know, you listen to Tim Ferriss's first podcast episode, he was drunk out of his mind with Kevin Rose, couldn't, you know, put three words together. And now he's got, you know, just this monstrous business because of a podcast. So do the thing that you're actually going to commit to is more important to me than the medium that you actually use.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a really powerful message here. And that's the consistency and keeping going. So I think this is going to be episode 253.
Woo, look at you. That's consistency right there.
And thinking back to, well, I occasionally go back and listen to some of my first episodes and I kind of turns the hairs up on my back.
Cringe a little. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you do improve and you do, you improve with experience and you fine-tune things as you go. As you said earlier, you discover what works and what doesn't work, and so then you adapt accordingly. And I think one of the things for me with video is it often is much quicker to do a quick video when I send someone an email message, for example, than to write a long email, and particularly if there's something to explain which can be enhanced by doing a screencast or it might be something that on camera I show something that you can see, and then the explanation takes 2 minutes rather than writing out an email, which takes me 10 minutes to do, and then the person still doesn't completely understand what I'm on about.
Yeah, I love some of the, so obviously I talk a lot about video in the sense of let's put it out on social media, let's use it to sell. But like, there's so many cool applications, like you just said, like you know, someone goes, hey, you know, I don't know how to listen to your podcast. Well, cool. Watch this quick little video about how to subscribe, you know, whatever the case is. We also use video a lot in our proposals and our follow-ups. So I hate creating proposals. It is the least cool thing about what it is that I do. And also, like, when someone gets a, like a 6-page Word document, that's like a proposal of like, I'm going to do this for you and this for, like, it reads, it, there's no emotion in it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's
so
fine.
So what we've started doing for our proposals is I have a giant whiteboard in one of my studios. And I write the proposal out as if I'm pitching it on video. I'm like, all right, Jurgen, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to start with this, and we're going to do this landing page, and then we're going to do this video, and then we're going to do that. Like, and I'm like screaming at the camera and hand motions everywhere. And, you know, you can see how, like, the excitement in my voice. And then I'm like, and it's only $4 billion. You know, all you got to do is sign up now. And, and those convert so well because they feel the emotion in the pitch as opposed to like a 4-page Word document or a 6-page Word document. So we use them a lot there. I'll use them a lot in like going back and forth with like a client, like you said, or even in a follow-up, like after I get off a sales call, I'll just pick up the phone and just, you know, hey, Johnny, it was great, you know, talking to you today. Let me know if you need anything from me. And I'll just be able to shoot that 15-second video off. It shows that I'm human, that I really cared about him, that I remembered our conversation. So there's so many cool ancillary uses for video, like you said, that are, it's easier than typing up the email. And it's also just personal. Like, you took time out of your day to actually send me a personal message. It says something about your character there.
Yeah. Well, I get that quite a bit with people that, and I guess while not many people are doing this, it's makes you stand out a little bit. So I get quite a bit of feedback that says, wow, that was cool that you did a video. Yeah. And I just want to come back to the equipment part again a moment ago, because you prompted a thought in my mind. You know, you everybody's got a phone these days. I mean, almost everybody has a smartphone, and the video cameras on those smartphones are more powerful and easier to use than what was around as a dedicated video camera, say 10 years ago. So you basically got a really powerful video camera in your pocket. You don't need a lot of equipment, and you can whip it out, turn on the camera, click the record, and in 2 minutes just have a quick conversation with somebody and then send that video by email or whatever.
Yeah, so I am a big fan of the phone. And all right, so let me back up. If you've done the strategy part right, you know the who, the what, and your offer, then the gear and technology with which you channel that message doesn't necessarily matter. Meaning that the phone, like you said, is better than the camera that I was using 10 years ago when I was shooting my first courses. I was using a flip camera, the white camera that everybody was using, you know, about a decade ago. These cameras are really good. So what I recommend to people is, more important than the camera itself, because the phone's really good, right? You don't need to go buy another camera. There's fancy cameras that I can talk to you about all day long, but the phone is great. What you need to think about is the environment in which you're going to film the video. Meaning, don't do it in a dark closet where no one can see your face, right? Make sure that you are lit. Like right now, even the video that you and I are, you know, people can't see the video, but you and I are on, like, I there's not enough light coming to my face. I have the lights off right now. I didn't know we were going to do video on this, but like, lighting is important. So look for natural light. That could be in your kitchen. That could be in a natural outdoor environment. That could be, you know, buying some of those ring lights that you know, the little circle lights you can put up. Like, think about lighting is very, very important. Think about your background environment, the things that are surrounding you. Like, if I were to turn my camera a little sideways, like right behind me, I have my Emmy Award, I have my books, I have awards, I've staged this set. There's a little like Green Arrow, like, you know, figures behind me that are cheesy, but they build my personality and they build my environment. Like, don't, if you're, you know, if you're a doctor and you're teaching people how to lose weight, don't have McDonald's wrappers in the background, right? Like, there's some incongruence there. We had one, a doctor who would send us videos, and behind her was a wastebasket with like bloody gloves coming out. I'm like, you can't do that. Like, put the glove, like, so the environment, really, really important. So environment, I think, is the most important thing, because there's so many unspoken cues that people have when they see your video. They see, you know, it's why Tai Lopez, for love him or hate him, he's got the cars behind him, because it builds this. He doesn't even have to say they're there, but people see them. Their eyes like, oh, this guy must be wealthy because he's surrounding himself in an environment with these sports cars. You know, you don't have to do sports cars, but like, you know, if you're a financial advisor, like, don't be, you know, in a basement somewhere that looks like you don't have any money. Therefore, you shouldn't be handling other people's money. So think about environment. Second thing is audio quality. I do believe that most, if you're going to be in a close environment indoor, the audio right off of the phone is pretty good. if you're going to be outside, if you're going to have the camera more than 3-4 feet away from you, it's time to look at some external audio options. That could be like a lapel mic that you can get off Amazon. That could be a shotgun mic that you get off Amazon. There's some really good ones. We use one from Movo, M-O-V-O. If you just search for Movo iPhone mic or Movo Samsung mic or whatever phone you have, it's in the $40 range. Really, really good microphone. You know, sometimes I'll even record, like I have the podcast mic in front of me today, is I'll record the video and I'll record the podcast audio and I'll just sync them together in editing. So sometimes we'll use this microphone, but I do believe audio is so important because if you sound muffled, if no one understands what you're saying, doesn't matter. So those two things, environment and audio, and just use your phone, you can get away with pretty much doing a video anywhere, anytime, any place. And I guess the last thing would be stabilization or a tripod. You know, the selfie video where it's, you know, you got shaky hands, you know, it isn't very appealing for the viewer to watch. So those three things and using the iPhone, yeah, you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. And so, and everybody's got most of that equipment. I mean, you know, tripod is really valuable, but you can get these little tabletop tripods that will get you started. And then the lapel microphones, you can get those for less than $100. So it's a really good
very
investment.
Inexpensive.
Yeah, yeah. I guess one of the things that I learned very quickly, don't do video outside, an important video outside when it's windy, because you get a lot of wind noise and the mics pick that up really well. But you can get away with it in a quiet area with a good lapel mic.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they want to do like beach videos, you know, like I'm on the beach and look how gorgeous it is. But all you hear is the wind and the waves. And
Yeah. All right. Now, I'd like to sort of take a bit of a tack here and ask you about building an audience. So we've got a way to get our message out, and we've got a kind of a platform or a medium to spread that message. What's important about building an audience, and how do you go about building up that audience?
Yeah. So here's the cliff notes to like what you need like a doctorate in today to do this. But, you know, building an audience, I think, comes down to distribution and consistency. So distribution being making sure that you're putting your content first on the platforms where your audience is hanging out. For the majority of the world, if you're selling anything to, you know, people that are buying via credit cards or being services, that is social, right? So Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Those platforms are where you need to be. Now, all of them, maybe. All of them, maybe not, depending on who you are and what you are selling to. So first thing is making sure that you get your content, get your videos onto those platforms. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Secondarily, is you're going to have natural organic reach on these platforms. It's going to show to your fans, to your, you know, your wife or your sister, your cousin, you know, is going to see your videos, but we need to expand that audience. I believe that today, in end of 2019, going into 2020, you have to pay to distribute your content, because Facebook, that is the game that you are in right now. Again, remember, we're creating content with the intent to sell something. So we're not just throwing money down the tube branding. We're branding with direct response. We're branding to make a sale. So we want to go into Facebook, and right now we're running engagement campaigns. That's the type of campaign that we run where we're paying anywhere from a penny to two pennies to get our video seen by our perfect audience. And remember, at the end of the video, I'm saying, hey, if you like this video, go buy my thing, go watch my webinar, go sign up for my report, go book a call with me, whatever your call to action is. So we're getting people to watch our videos for 2 cents, you know, so we can get thousands and thousands of our perfect prospects, only the people that we want to see our videos, to watch our video for $5 a day, $10 a day. So we're not talking about going, you know, crazy into debt here to build our audience, but we need to get our video seen. And if you build it, they will come is not a model that works for most people here today. Most of us don't live in a world where our videos are going to go viral. If you're a financial advisor talking about the 5 ways to protect your IRA from like the taxes or the government, that's not going viral, right? Like, you have to put that video in front of the people who have that problem. Now, there are some videos that lend itself to virality, but I don't want to put my livelihood, my kids' livelihood to chance. So I want to put my video in front of people who are likely going to purchase. So that means paying for distribution. The third piece of the equation, so there's organic, there's paid, and then what I like to say is other people's media. This is a way to accelerate things really, really quickly. There are people that have platforms, that have blogs, that have news sites, that have magazines, the associations. There are people that have these media companies that need a ton of content, but they don't have the budget to bring in their own videographers and their editing teams and all, like, that's, it's expensive, right? So an example of that, like, every week I put out a video on YouTube. It's called The Ambitious Life. It's a 5 to 7 minute online TV show. I also use entrepreneur.com, shares that video every single Wednesday on entrepreneur.com, on Entrepreneur's Facebook, on Entrepreneur's Instagram, on Entrepreneur's Twitter. So now my 1,000 subscribers on YouTube get a notification that it goes out, but the millions of people that Entrepreneur has see my videos every single Wednesday. And guess what happens at the end of that video? Hey, if you like this video, I'd love to get you X, Y, and Z. So, but Entrepreneur, I don't pay for that. That's not advertising. That's not paid placement. That is, Entrepreneur needs dozens upon dozens upon dozens of posts and videos every day, and they don't have enough of a budget to hire all of that in-house. So they look to content creators like myself to say, hey, I'm creating a high quality product. Now this show, it's not shot on an iPhone. There's fancy editing. Like, it looks the part, right? Because I knew that's what Entrepreneur's audience needed. But also, in addition to Entrepreneur, we put our content on the Financial Planning Association's website. So, you know, hundreds of thousands of financial planners in the Financial Planning Association see our videos every single week. Sometimes when they don't like the video, they'll transcribe it and turn it into an article so they can read it. And guess what? At the end of the article, it says, hey, if you like this article, go check out Greg's stuff. So what I want you to, I start to identify who are the 5, 10, 20 media sites, news sites, associations, pockets of people that have media, that have a website, that have a newsletter, that have a Facebook group, that have a community that needs your content, that you can turn to them and say, you know what? I'm producing really, really high quality content. I would love to give it to you absolutely for free so that you can use it to your audience. That's kind of the third piece of it. And that's how you can siphon off other people's audiences to build your own. So you have organic, which is your own platforms. You have paid, which is giving Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn money to promote your videos to your target audience. And then third is you have other people's media, other people's platforms where they're going to take your content and share it to their audience. That is the best way that I know how to build an audience today, is leveraging all three of those channels. And again, at the end of every single one of your things, you're leading people back into your sales funnel. That's the most important part. So again, we're not just audience building for the sake of audience building. I would love for you all to be the next Oprah. That's not the case for the majority of us. The majority of us make our living selling services, selling products, selling whatever that it is we sell. So that's the best way that I know how to do it.
Yeah. And even Oprah didn't do half a dozen videos and become famous, right? She took her a little
years
while.
Years and years and years. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is absolutely fabulous, Greg. I could keep talking a whole lot more about video, and we've only touched on things like repurposing and modeling. I know you're a big fan of modeling and learning from models, but it sounds like we might have to have another episode at some stage, because I'm looking at the time, and I think it's a good point to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions. Hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire people to go and take some action today and do something awesome.
Let's do it.
What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Consume more content with intent. What I mean is, you can't be prolific in creating ideas and generating output if you have no input. So, you know, for me, on any given week, I'm reading dozens of industry magazines. I'm ordering 5-10 books from Amazon. I'm watching videos. But they're not just like mindless content. I'm not just mindlessly scrolling. Where can I find ideas? Most people think that you just wake up creative. You don't wake up creative. You find creativity through the stuff that you consume. Like, even through this podcast episode, you probably had a moment where you're like, oh, I should do that. Oh, I should do it. So the more prolific your input, the more prolific your output. So consume more stuff with intent.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I'm thinking intent, you mean sort of focus back on those 4 things that you want to be known for, and what might feed into that?
Yeah, so the answer is yes, but also don't be scared to look through. I think a big mistake that people make is, if I'm a real estate agent, I should only read stuff from real estate. Only read the Real Estate Association stuff and real estate blogs and listen to real estate podcasts. Like, the best stuff I get is I take stuff from the financial world and the health and fitness world, and I see how can I adapt that to what it is that I'm doing. I learned this from Jay Abraham a good mentor of mine. I'm fortunate enough to get to work on his life's documentary with Nick. And, you know, this guy would take something from, you know, like something from Icy Hot and apply it to how to sell more magazines for Entrepreneur. And it was just incredible how James Altucher, someone else I get to work with, calls it idea sex. It's like when two ideas, you know, and now I just probably made this un-PG, but, you know, it's when, you know, these two ideas come together and, you know, they spawn this idea child, if you will. And so don't be scared to, you know, read things that are out, like go, you know, read general interest things, but do it, like you said, with intent to where does this fit into one of those four boxes? Where does this fit into one of those four quadrants? But don't shelter yourself into such a box where it's the marketer who only reads marketing stuff. Like read other stuff, man. That's like right. Read some fiction, read something, you know, so it's that.
Yeah, great. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas? Probably a bit
man,
more
so,
of that.
Yeah, it's a bit more of that. You know, something honestly this year that I've done more is asking for help. And this is something that most entrepreneurs, alpha types, we don't like to do that because we think that we can do it all. And this year I've gotten my best ideas, my best inspiration when I've set my ego aside and I've said, you know, hey, Jürgen, how do I do this? How do I figure this out? What have you done? And just having that, I don't know the right, the word's not coming to me, but like just having the ability to ask people for help has lended me to so many ideas that I would never have come up with on my own because they're like, hey, well, this worked for me. You know, and I think that's really powerful when you can set your ego aside, ask for help. And then, you know, it's like the teacher appears when the student is ready. And it's so true. Don't be so proud that you can't ask others who either you respect or have done something that you want to do and ask them for help.
Yeah, that's great advice. So it comes back to setting that ego aside again. The ego, I think ego gets in our way a lot, but at the same time, it is a really important thing to have. So it's a matter of when is it getting in the way?
It's and a balance.
When's it serving you? Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use a lot?
Oh man, resource in the sense of like something that I read or go to or an app, like what?
Well, it could be anything. I mean, you talked earlier about Evernote as your way for capturing ideas.
Yeah, so I Evernote is like my livelihood. Like when I first heard about Evernote, I mean, like 12 years ago, it was said it was like your digital brain, right? Yeah. And you could take this brain with you anywhere. And I've really used it that way. And I use it for everything from, like you said, like these ideas to I write all of my copy in Evernote to all of our recipes to our grocery shopping to like every, you know, all swipe files for advertising. Like everything is organized in there. It is like my outsourced brain. So I love that. And you know, as simple and silly as this is, the podcast app on my phone is the one that I use the most. Like I am, for as much as I'm a video guy, I am a podcast junkie. I'm in the car a lot. I'm driving a lot. I'm on airplanes a lot. And, you know, podcasts are just, they're just an incredible wealth of information, of resources. And obviously people are listening to this, so they know that, just having that information, Brian Tracy used to call it like having a university in your car. And I just think that that's so important for people. And I'm a music guy. I started this interview saying that I was a musician, but but when you listen to music, you know, you're not training your brain to do the right things. I think just use that dead time is so important.
Yeah, I remember back years and years ago, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, but this might be the early 90s when I discovered audio books and, you know, with a cassette tape recording and then later on CDs. And I was driving a lot as well. I was also flying a lot, but driving worked quite well in terms of listening to these audio books. And I thought, this is fabulous. And then, of course, when podcasts first came out, it made that audio content so much more accessible, although in the early days there weren't that many really good podcasts.
Exactly. It's the old Zig Ziglar and Tommy Hopkins, Earl Nightingale and
that's
all that
right.
good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Oh man. So something that we've done this year in our coaching program that I'm just such a big advocate of is text messages. Because it's right in your face. People still check them. You still get like almost 100% open rate. So something that we've done in our, I have a inner circle, Greg Rilla Inner Circle coaching program. And every Tuesday we send out a text message that's called a text in Tuesday. So instead of like a check-in, it's a text in. Mm. And we send out a simple text message that just says, hey, what's your number one priority for this week? Or what's your number one objective for this week? You know, what are you doing to get there? What are you doing to, you know, make it happen? You know, some wording like that. And we send that out every Tuesday to all of our coaching members. And so many of them just reply, even if it's something simple like, thanks for the reminder, Greg, you know, and just, but just the, this constant, like, and so the texting stuff, it is very easy. It's quick. It's fast. It's something that, again, people don't need to write me like a 100-word reply or do anything crazy. They're just like, you know, I'm trying to shoot my videos this week. And, you know, I get to reply back and say, cool, I'm going to hit you up on Friday and make sure you did it. And just this texting relationship, again, it's just, I think it's a deeper layer of intimacy that you have with your clients. When they, again, we use a service called salesmessage.com. So they don't have my personal cell phone number, but it's just been a way to deepen that relationship and stay top of mind. Is the accountability in my world is almost more important than the information, more important than the tactics. It's just, again, I talked about it earlier. I don't care what kind of media you use. I care about the media that you do and that you create and that you hit publish on. So that accountability is so important.
Yeah. I think one of the things we touched a little bit on it earlier around, you know, solving a problem, but it's actually guiding the person on that journey to solving that problem and then keeping them accountable is really important. And people underestimate, I think, how valuable that is in both, you know, as someone that provides it and also as a consumer of that product or service that provides the solution.
Yeah, and just the hard part of it is that it's hard to sell accountability. Yeah. It's the, you got to figure out a way to sell them what they want and give them what they need. What they need is accountability. But they, no, again, if you're looking at your four quadrants, no one woke up to say, I need accountability.
That's
you
right.
know, so that you got to find a way to sexy that up a little bit. But I completely agree with you. That's what we need, but we got to find a way to sell it as a want.
Hmm. Yeah, great advice. All right. Now we've touched on this too, but I'll ask again, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
This is going to sound super easy, but it's to be you.
Yeah.
Right. The world doesn't need you to be the next Gary Vee, the next Grant Cardone, the next Tim Ferriss. The world needs you to be you because there already is Gary Vee. Like, I don't need to watch the second B-rate Gary Vee. I want to watch Gary Vee. Right. Yeah. So the world needs you to be you. And the more that, and it's really difficult because we feel like we have to wear a mask. We have to put on this facade. We have to be somebody different on camera or on a podcast, or we need to put up this veil or this persona, this cape. Great book. And I'm going to screw it up. I'll come back to it in just a second. But just, we feel like we have to put on this facade when we get on camera, but the best personalities are themselves. There may be an amplified, like I'm an amplified version of myself on this podcast, right? Like I'm excited. I have energy. I know like I was a musician, so I know how to like turn it on, but this is still me. Like if we're out to drinks and dinner, I get this crazy about this video stuff. Like I get stoked on it, and I'm silly. I make jokes about myself. I'm super into superheroes and Ninja Warrior and running obstacle races. And I was a rapper and like using all of that to my advantage rather than hiding it in a closet. The more that you can be yourself and let your true personality come out, the more you're going to separate yourself from everybody else. You know, it's the, you know, the, again, using that real estate agent who only looks at other real estate agents. And I want my real estate website to look like the guy down the street's real estate website. Well, now you just look like him.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't need another him. The world needs you to be you. So find a way to let your personality come out. It is the only USP. The only unique selling proposition is you, because there's somebody else that does what you do. There's somebody else that has a podcast. There's somebody else that has a show. There's somebody else that sells what you sell. There's somebody else, and they might even be better at it. But what they don't have is you, your personality, your insights, your ideas, your, you know, the idea sex that we talked about earlier. Like that only comes from you. And that is the only thing that you can sell that is truly different in the marketplace.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. And that's, I think there's, you know, there's so much wisdom in that. I think as you said, it's easier than it sounds because it does require a lot of self-awareness and probably putting aside ego in some sense as well, which we've talked about quite a bit today. Being yourself. All right. Now you talked about one of the things that you've changed a little bit in your business this year in terms of asking for help more than you have in the past. Is there anything that's holding you back from growing your business further?
There's a lot of things that are holding me back from growing my business further. And, you know, when you know, this year was a really cool year for us. We changed our business a lot this year. We've created a virtual video coaching program, which allows us to work with clients all over the world in any area or industry, which has been really cool. But there's obviously scale problems there with hiring enough video editors and, you know, dealing with different, like languages as we transcribe stuff. And so that's been interesting. And then the way that we put people into that is we have a front end promotion where we give away a video planner that shows people how to outline their videos and gives them 52 ideas. And our biggest way to grow and scale and the biggest help we need is to give more of those away. The more of those that we give away, the more people say, wow, this is great. Now I need help editing the videos and putting the videos together and coaching through the videos. So, you know, whether that's traffic, it's a traffic problem. It's a conversion problem. It's a finding new audiences. Like we have the same problems that I solve for people. Like still have them. There's still limitations. I was talking with Lewis Howes the other day and, you know, he's, you know, 150 million downloads of his podcast. Like he's still like, how do I get more audience? He wants 1 million downloads an episode. How do we get to that threshold? And so, you know, even at the biggest level, like they're still trying to find more audiences for what it is that they do. And so, yeah, I don't know if that completely answered your question, but it's still finding more audiences of people who want to share their story, who want to get their message out there, but they need some help.
Mm, yeah, great. Well, I mean, it just shows that, you know, whilst there are experts in their field that are doing really well, there's always challenges that they're facing and they're always addressing those. But at the same time, they've gone on a journey. They're further down the journey than you might be. And so that you can get help in kind of tracking that journey and maybe fast tracking the journey. So not making the mistakes that they've made along the way. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, thanks, Greg. This has been really fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about you and about that planner and perhaps even reach out and say thank you for what you shared with us today?
Yeah. So if you liked some of the things that I shared with you here today, I'd love for you to grab a copy of the video planner. They're free. I'll ship them anywhere in the world. You just got to pay for shipping and handling, which is just $6. So I'm not like, it's not like $28 for shipping and handling like you see out there today. And you can grab one at theambitiousplanner.com. Again, theambitiousplanner.com. And then I'm just at Greg Rillette on social media. So at Greg Rillette on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the places. Love to interact with you guys. Say hello. Make sure that as you're listening to this episode, screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram. So, we can build everyone's audiences and more people can hear this. So I think that's the best thank you for me. And I think that's the best thank you for you probably too, is people Absolutely. Sharing these episodes. Yeah. So, if you got anything from this, I would love for you to just, screenshot this, from your favorite podcast player and post it up on Instagram or Facebook and tag us. That would be the best thank you in the world.
Yeah. Wonderful. I'd really appreciate that too. And I it's a privilege for me to speak with people each episode that are experts in their field and are so generous in sharing their insights and their wisdom with me over the time, giving that time and also being able to share that with my audience. So I think, if you can share that more widely, that will be really greatly appreciated. All right. Well, is there one piece of advice you'd like to leave our listener with today that particularly if they're looking to be a leader in their field and in innovation?
Yeah, stop trying to be perfect and start being prolific. Like the bad video that you put out there that can genuinely help someone today is actually going to make a better impact than the perfect video that you don't release ever. So be prolific over perfect. Put your mission over your ego, but get started. Like what are you waiting for? And I think that there's just so many people who are in this perpetual failure to launch kind of mode. Hit record and then hit publish. Again, the worst thing that happens is 18 people see it and they forget about it and you post the next thing. That's the worst case scenario. And I think you, by doing that, are going to find that so many more people resonate with what you have to say, are excited for you, will encourage you, and will push you to greatness. So be prolific. Don't be perfect. Mission over ego. And get started today. Don't like listen to this another year from now and be like, man, I wish I started a year ago.
Yeah.
I think that's... Regret sucks. So get started.
That's right. Yeah. I think a lot of things, if I look back, I say, gee, I wish I had have started that well before, but today's the next best time. And one thing I read, and I don't know who to attribute this to, but I really love this saying, which is, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I love that. It's so powerful.
Yeah. All right. Now, finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, Greg, and why?
Oh, man. So many great people. Man, there's guys like Jay Menez, who's got an incredible show out of California. It would be great for this. Lisa Manette, who is a virtual video coaching client of mine, who teaches people how to use their, find their authentic voice. So it goes deeper on what we talked about at the end, which is how to find that voice inside of you, which is really, really cool. You know, those would be two that kind of come to the top of my mind. That would be great to continue to share these kinds of messages with your crew.
Great. Well, we'll get an introduction from you to Jay and Lisa, and maybe reach out to them and see if we can get them on the podcast as well.
So definitely.
Thanks so much, Greg. I've really enjoyed this, and thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights so generously today. I really appreciate it, and all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and informative conversation with Greg and took something away from his episode. I'm a big fan of his content strategy with the four things to be known for and the who, what, offer framework, beginning with really knowing your potential client and their problem or need. I'd love to know what you took away from Greg's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Greg Rollett. That is GREGROLLETT. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Greg Rollett. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Greg there, as well as links to the Ambitious website, his social media pages, the Ambitious video planner, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Greg suggested that we have a conversation with author and TV host Jay Menez and with Lisa Minette, who works with people on refining their authentic voice, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So Jay and Lisa, keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Greg Rollett. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. As Greg pointed out, really knowing your ideal client and understanding their problems or needs is the first step of his framework, and our Marketing Master mini class works on exactly that. It is completely free and accessible without giving away your email, but most importantly, in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery or our help with podcast production, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick call just to have a conversation and find out if we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to further episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got some more fabulous guests lined up, including Mark Robinson of the International Academy of Wealth and Zach McGill of Perk Health. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.